Hey, good morning, Liberty Church. I hope this morning finds you and your family all doing extremely well. What a beautiful morning it is outside, and what a gorgeous week it's been. We've had a little bit of rain, could probably use a little more, but I think we'd all agree that it's been a beautiful, beautiful week. I love that we're getting nearer to summer. It's my favorite time of year. Hey, one quick announcement before we get into the Word of God this morning. Many are continuing to ask about our reopening schedule. Technically, we're not reopening until July. Technically, this month of June, we've set aside to bring our leadership through for all of them to be able to experience all the new things that we have to do, incorporate into our Sunday mornings and whatnot. And many of them, our leaders, will be helping us as we move forward into the future to navigate and walk through all of those things. So we're using this month of June to totally prepare so that we can be ready for our reopening in July. There's more details on our website and social media. If you are in our database, you also received an email with all the details. And if you haven't received that email, two things: check your junk mail. And if it's not there, then that probably means that you are not in our system. And so if you would like to get into our system, and we would love for you to be, so we can continue the communication, then simply send an email to info@libertychurches.org. info@libertychurches.org, and give us your name, your address, phone number, email, whatever you want us to have to be able to communicate with you. And in the future, when we send out those emails, you'll be right in line with the rest of us. Really excited. We're in this series on the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but so far in my almost 3 years of being here, I believe it's my favorite series yet. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives and our understanding of that role, it's vital to you and I in learning how to thrive here on earth in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you've missed any of the messages in this series, I'm asking you to please go back and to listen to each one of them. I believe that each message is a life changer. It's a life changer. It will not only encourage you, but there'll be some aha moments there in understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he helps us to live this Christian life with great success in glory and honor to God and empowering us to do what we've been asked to do. So let's go ahead and let's pray together this morning. I invite you to put your coffee down, your cereal down, and let's just take a moment and together let's open our hearts up to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for this beautiful day. And God, I just pray that you would encourage all of our Liberty family and anyone listening in today, Lord God, who's a guest, we welcome them. God, we pray a blessing upon each and every person this morning, that you would just speak directly into their hearts and minds. Encourage them. Lord, I pray this morning that you would fill in some details that Lord, they've had questions to, but this morning you have answered that question for them. And God, I just pray that you would continue the strengthening of our souls in this body here at Liberty Church to become the people that you can work through freely at will. And Lord God, we will be yes people to you always, and we will have a greater understanding of how you work and operate in and through our lives for your glory and honor. And we get to be a part of all that. Father, we thank you this morning. Bless your word and our hearts and our minds, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, we're gonna kick off this morning. I want you to turn, open your Bibles with me or follow along on the screen. We're gonna be in Romans chapter 11. We're gonna look at verses 20 and 21 for just a moment. We read here, it's the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to us, and he says, that is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but fear. That means fear the Lord, respect the Lord, have a great awe and honor of God. For if God did not spare the natural branches, then neither will he spare you. Now, I want to explain the branches for just a moment. If you go back on your own time this week or later this afternoon to John chapter 15, you'll see that Jesus said that he is the vine. And these branches that he speaks of is Israel, his chosen people, all right? So Jesus is the vine, Israel are the branches, and then later on, after Jesus' death and resurrection, we Gentiles, who are not by birth a part of the nation of Israel, we are, according to the scriptures, engrafted into the vine. So what Paul is trying to say here is that because of unbelief with some of the natural branches, if God broke them off, pruned the vine by breaking them off because of their unbelief, then don't think for a minute that our unbelief won't get us broken off as branches who have been engrafted into the vine. So he's encouraging us here to have fear, honor, respect of the Lord, and to stay strong in our belief and confidence in him in our lives. Scripture like this one, though, it sometimes will bring people to a place of questioning their faith. It causes a little bit of doubt in their mind because they're wondering, well, am I still attached to the vine or am I not? There are many other reasons also that would lead one to question their faith. Things like a lack of understanding God's word, all right? Or giving in to sinful things. That's a big one. When we're living our lives as a believer in disobedience to God, it can begin to cause us to question our faith. And let me tell you this, Satan will absolutely use that to beat you up and to try to tear you down and to try to convince you that you're no longer a child of God. Because if he can convince you of that, you might throw up your hands and say, what the use, and just continue on your own way. And then the third thing is a lack of a relationship with God. You know, I just think of my wife and I, when I get real busy or she gets real busy and we're not spending time together, we just don't feel close. And in those moments when we're not walking in a relationship with God and we don't feel close to him, the enemy again will come in and he'll try to provoke doubt in our mind as it relates to our salvation and our security in that relationship with God the Father. Satan will use any means possible to confuse and abuse a believer's faith. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy you, all right? So it's his job, and he'll use any means possible. So how can you and I be sure, confident, that we truly are saved, that our salvation is secure, and that we are right there in the arms of God himself? Well, let's take a brief moment this morning to understand our salvation. It's something we talk about a lot, but let's just bring a little bit of understanding to it this morning. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles. Even at home, I still like to use my Bible. So if you have it, turn to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. If not, you can just follow along on the screen with us. This is a scripture, I think I use it almost every week. It's key, it's crucial. Let's read it together. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, the word says, the apostle Paul says, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That is such a beautiful verse. According to these verses, how do you know if one has received salvation? Well, they have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives, and they have believed in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. And if you've done those two things, the scripture says you are saved. Now, I do want to make mention here that this scripture is assuming repentance, okay? It's assuming repentance. What is repentance? It's a change of mind. You've heard me say it before if you've been a part of our Liberty family for any length of time, that we were walking and doing our own thing in our humanness, our flesh, but there came a moment where the grace and the goodness of God through the power of his Holy Spirit awakened us to the truth of God's word, awakened us to this whole opportunity of salvation, and we chose to repent, to change our mind and to transition and to begin to now go after God instead of doing our own thing. That's repentance. And we're not going to get into a lesson, but that also just involves the confessing of our sin before the Lord. But According to Romans chapter 10 here, all you need to do is believe and confess and then receive by faith the promise of God's gift that he's wanted to give you. Now, I know, I'm confident that out of all of you who are listening this morning, some of you have done that. You've taken those steps. You have confessed and you have believed in your heart. You have received by faith this free gift of God. But some of you have not yet done that. Now listen, if that's you, it's not a mistake that you're listening to this morning. God's Holy Spirit has drawn you to this stream online and you have stumbled across it, or maybe a friend invited you to join us today. Listen, my friend, it's not a mistake that you're hearing this word right now and you are being given an opportunity by God to understand that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, that's very, very important because you have to believe that God raised him from the dead. Why? Because it proves that he was the Son of God. So I want to invite you to make this confession with me this morning. Especially if you've never done it before. I want you to make this confession with me this morning, right there wherever you're at. And if you're listening and you've already confessed Jesus as Lord and believe this in your heart, I'm going to invite you to do it again with us as just a rededication as unto the Lord. So I'm going to speak it out, and then I want you to speak it out after me. Are you ready? I want you to say this with me. Say this. Say, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ready? You go. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now I want you to say this. Say, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Ready? Go. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And now I just want you to grab hold of it. I just, with what you just did, according to God's word in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, I want you to receive by faith this morning. I want you to believe the word of God that you now possess God's gift of salvation because of your confession and what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He paid the penalty for your sin. He made a way for you to be forgiven and cleaned up. And then by God raising him from the dead, he's given us new life. So if you've confessed that this morning, right now, for the first time, or whether you did it as a rededication for the 100th time, listen, the pastors, the board, we celebrate with you this morning what God has done in this moment and for the rest of you in this rededication for what God has been doing in your life for maybe a number of years. I want you to know this morning, listen to me, if you sincerely prayed that prayer this morning, you need to understand just a few things. There are some things that accompany that confession this morning, and that is this: you have, as of right now, you've been forgiven of all of your sin. God no longer holds your sin against you. No matter what it is that you've done, God has forgiven you of all of your sin because you confess Jesus as Lord. You now have a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for the old is gone and all has become new. The Bible says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the confession that you made in him this morning, you have new life. You've now been given the Holy Spirit. At this very moment, God sent his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you. I believe that the moment you confess that, you actually felt something inside of you transition or change, a lightness that came, a weight that was lifted off of you. That was the power of God's Spirit that now came into your life. You also now possess eternal life. You hold in your possession, because of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, eternal life. Listen, yes, you will die a physical death. But listen, my friend, you will go on living for all of eternity. You will not have to face the eternal death, which is eternal separation from God, and the eternal flames of hell intended for the devil, but all who reject this free gift. You now have eternal life, and you have just received the greatest gift of God that he could ever have given to us, and that is the gift of his salvation. We have been made new, saved, cleaned up, given a new opportunity. We're a new man, a new woman because of our confession of faith in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. If you would, I want to read another scripture that accompanies what we're talking about this morning. Would you go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9, where we read, let's read it together, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, and not a result of works, your works, so that none of us may boast." Powerful scripture. If you are worried about your salvation, then you, my friend, you're not walking in faith. We just prayed a prayer of faith. We just spoke a confession of faith. So this morning you are saved. If you're worried about that salvation, then you're not walking in faith. Faith is very important. It's key. It's crucial to everything about our salvation. You have been saved according to our scripture here in Ephesians. You've been saved through faith. By grace, I'm going to pause there for just a moment. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We did not deserve this salvation, but out of God's unending love for us as his created children, all right, God extended his grace towards us, that unmerited favor, and his Holy Spirit, he sent after you to pursue you, to chase you down. And because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we've now received our salvation. We're going to go ahead and transition on here. Now, there is an actual order to these events. So, and this is important. I want us to understand that. What came first? Well, Christ and the cross came first. The work that Jesus did, him laying his life down on that cross, actually taking our place on that cross, paying the penalty with his blood on the cross, that came first. And then God, after he raised Jesus from the dead, he extended grace towards all men, all men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That grace is extended out towards everyone, and it's the Holy Spirit working in us to make us aware of that offered grace. And then what we just did this morning, we receive it all by faith, by belief. This is all a gift from God. There's nothing you can do, my friend, to earn salvation. You can only receive it by faith. Now, to worry about your salvation is putting an emphasis on you, all right? So let's not worry about our salvation, because when we do that, we're looking at ourselves and what we're doing or not doing or having to do, all right? Rather than focusing our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it is not your devotion to God that saves you. It's not your devotion to God that saves you. It's God's devotion to you. Through his son, Jesus Christ. You are saved through Jesus Christ. It's his work on the cross by grace and through faith that brings it all together. At this point, once by faith we have received this gift of salvation, listen, we learned from last week's sermon. Again, if you've not listened, go back and listen to last week and any of them that you've missed. But we learned from last week that at the moment, exact moment of our salvation, God places his Holy Spirit inside of us. At exactly the moment that we made that confession and have faith in what Christ did for us on the cross, he placed his Holy Spirit inside of us. We call this the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we literally become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The place where we now worship is not a building. It's not this church. We can worship right there in your home, in your car, walking down the street. God goes with us wherever we go because he now indwells us through his Holy Spirit. We are his temple. And that's why we are challenged to make our lives a continual offering of worship to the Lord every single day. This is all a beautiful picture of the Godhead at work within our lives. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We call that the Holy Trinity. All three persons of the Trinity at work in our lives. Why? To restore us unto God. Now, we know that God, the Father, he's the planner. That's his role. He's the planner. This is his story, all right? He's planned all of creation from beginning to end. And as it relates to you, he has a plan for your life. And the Bible tells us that before you ever took your first breath in this world, that plan was what was created by God's heart, by his mind, and by his hands. All right. Number two, we know that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, he's the purchaser. That's his role. All right. He paid the price for our salvation to restore us back to the Father. And for every soul that he ever created, that salvation has been purchased for them by his blood. You and I can have eternal life. And listen to this. This is so cool. Complete forgiveness of all of our sins. And number three, we know that God, the Holy Spirit, is the preserver. And that's our focus for this week right here. We're going to, the rest of this morning is going to be looking at this piece right here. Another role of the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the empowerer, the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Another piece to this role of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us is he is our preserver. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 13 through 14, in which Paul says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." There are two key words here that I want us to pay really special attention to, and that is the word sealed and guarantee, all right? You were sealed by the Holy Spirit and with a guarantee, all right? The Holy Spirit, as a part of his role, he preserves our salvation. What took place this morning as you confessed Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as you believed in your heart that God raised you from the dead, the Holy Spirit was sent to you to seal what God just did in your heart. He's going to preserve our salvation. He personally then will guarantee it and the future inheritance that we will receive in full one day. The scripture says that in him, that is Jesus Christ, all right, we were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So basically this, to be sealed is to be verified as God's child. This morning, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. If you prayed that prayer, made that confession with me. This morning, you were verified as God's child, as his son, or as his daughter. Ephesians 1:13, we just read it, a part of it. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, and that is the promised Holy Spirit. Why am I using that word promise? Because we're not reading the scripture today, but if you go back to John chapter 14, it's where Jesus was with his disciples, and he was talking about the events that were to come, and he talked about his death, his resurrection, and that he had to leave so that God could send the promised Holy Spirit. Very important that the Holy Spirit came into us to indwell us so that he could seal the salvation that was taking place. The Apostle Paul, John wrote in the book of Revelation, if you would turn there with me, if you're in your Bible, John, or Revelation 14 in verse 1, the Apostle John wrote, "I looked and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads." Now, this verse is specifically referring to a group of people during the time that we call, it's in the future, the time that's going to be called the Great Tribulation period. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on that this week. That's coming, though. We're going to be talking about the end times and those events yet to happen here in the near future. But I do want to make a quick point from the scripture this morning, all right? And by their seals that we read about, this 144,000 during the tribulation period, coming in the future, that seal, which was basically having his name, the name of the Lamb is Jesus Christ, and the name of his Father written on their foreheads, all right? This seal of God will protect those 144,000 during the tribulation from Satan and all of his tactics, all right? That's pretty cool. The seal is for our protection. In ancient times, seals were used to keep documents secure for their intended recipient, all right? Today, in the world of technology that we have, we don't use seals very much, if at all, unless it's just kind of for fun or because it's cool or maybe there's another reason or two. But today, we primarily have passwords or codes or encryption. However, at one point in time in the history of the world, seals were such a big deal that there is actually a name, a word for studying them, all right? The study of seals is called sellography, all right? You can look it up. It's there. It's a real thing. Now, here's how a seal worked. The method of sealing a document, they would often, back in ancient times, use a papyrus as a paper, and they would write their notes on it. And once that note was finished, written, they would roll it up into a tube, and then they would take a strand or a cord, and they would wrap it, tie it around the center of that rolled up piece of papyrus. And then with a clump of clay, they would put it over the knot. That clay would dry and get hard. And as long as it didn't crumble when the recipient had it in their possession, they knew that no one had tampered with that document or read it. It was safe and secure. And this method for sealing documents continued right on in into the Christian era, all right? Now, sometimes a dollop of wax was also used, and we've seen this in movies quite a bit. A seal of an official document or something important, they used wax. Often a king would use this method of wax, and he would put it over the envelope or the piece of paper that was folded. And then he would take his signet ring and he would impress it into the wax. And again, it would harden. And this seal intact would give the assurance to the recipient that no one else had viewed the contents of that document. If the seal had been broken, then you knew that someone had tampered with it. And the penalty for tampering with the document was very, very severe. As a matter of fact, it's much like the mail or United States Postal Service. Technically, it's against the law to go into anybody's mailbox and tamper with their mail. And there is actually some very severe penalties that can follow it if you were ever to be persecuted for doing so. In this case, for example, the power and authority of Rome, let's look at Rome for a minute, stood behind their seal guaranteeing that Christ would stay in the tomb. So when they sealed the tomb with that stone, they put a seal of wax over that tomb. And as long as it was intact, they knew that nobody had come to move that stone to tamper with Jesus's body. Anyone found breaking the Roman seal, whether it was the tomb or in any other form or fashion, they would suffer the punishment of an extremely unpleasant death. This is all in history. You can read it for yourself. So how are you and I sealed by the Holy Spirit? First, let's understand again that it all happens simultaneously at salvation, at our confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. At that moment this morning when we confess Jesus as Lord, for those of you who did it for the first time, at that moment you were saved. You were sanctified. Again, we talked a lot about sanctification last week. Go back and listen to that message. And then you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. All at the same time today, all of these three things happened at our salvation. When we confess Jesus Christ by faith, immediately God sends his Holy Spirit into our lives and we become saved, sanctified, and sealed by the promised Holy Spirit in his work within us. At the moment of our salvation, God, in sending his Holy Spirit to us, he seals us or he locks in our faith, our salvation. This seal is both an authentication of our salvation, our sonship, our daughtership, and it also protects us by keeping out the destructive forces of Satan and all of his tactics. Now, this protection is for our soul. I want us to understand that today. It's not necessarily our body, but the seal protects our soul, all right? Let me explain. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 16 this morning, where we read Paul, again, the apostle, he writes, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." So listen, our outward self, our body, what we see with the eye, we are wasting away. Whether it's age, whether it's illness, or whether our life is taken from us in this world, our outer body is wasting away. We will die one day. We will take our last breath. But listen, at that moment of salvation, our inward man, our soul, becomes born again, the Bible says. We come alive on the inward side. And the scripture tells us here that from that moment of salvation on, unlike our outward body, our inward soul is being renewed day by day. We're becoming stronger and more healthier in our spirit. I remember back in my childhood years, I remember my mom and my grandma in the summer, they used to get together when I was young, and they would can certain foods. My mom and dad had a garden out in the back, and once everything was coming in and they were picking and all that kind of stuff, they would can food. They would cook and prepare all the food. They would place it in these mason jars. Some of you probably do this today or you're familiar with it, but they would place it in mason jars. They would put this flat lid disc on top of the mason jar, and then this threaded ring with a seal they would screw down on top of the jar. And then they would submerge the whole jar in boiling water, all right? Now, when you remove that hot jar from the boiling water, the heat begins to escape, and it takes with it any air that's left in the jar, okay? So the escaping oxygen pulls that lid or that disc down, creating an airtight seal. This seal preserves the food that's within the jar. Pretty cool. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever had a sealed jar? Maybe you bought it. Maybe it was a jar you bought from the grocery store, all right? They're sealed as well. When you pop open one of those lids, unscrew it, you actually hear the seal break, okay? Have you ever had a jar, though, that you could not open? The lid was sealed so tightly that you simply could not open it, all right? I have. And as long as that seal was not broken, you could not get to the food inside. That food remained untouchable. And that is the whole point of the sealed jar, is to protect the food, to keep it safe, to preserve the food in the jar. This is just like the seal of the Holy Spirit upon our life. The seal of the Holy Spirit, he's the preserver and the protector of our salvation. He's the preserver and the protector of our soul. It's a part of his role. If you've ever been a follower if you have been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ for any length of time, then you know that Satan will try to break that seal. He's going to come after you. He is going to come after you. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen, you signed up for one of the most dangerous missions in the entire world. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24:9, and let's read what I'm talking about. Often we talk about the love of God. Often we talk about the forgiveness that accompanies our salvation and the gift of God. And we get so excited about all of that. But a lot of times we don't do due diligence to say, hey, before making that confession, maybe I should have had this before we prayed that prayer this morning earlier. But listen, chapter 24 and verse 9 of Matthew gives those who become children of God who receive the gift of salvation a warning. Listen, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You see, that marking of the Holy Spirit, that seal of God upon your life, all right, it will bring the world after you. They don't like Jesus. They don't like him at all. And Satan hates him, and Satan with a passion will do anything he can to try to break that seal. Only you can break it, all right? He can't break it, nor can anyone else in the world, all right? But he's going to try to wear you down. The Holy Spirit does not seal us from being attacked outwardly. These things, according to the word of God, they're going to happen in our lives. There are going to be challenges that we face, okay? And some could be very severe. But God, through his Holy Spirit, he has promised to protect us from losing our eternal salvation. He protects, he preserves our soul. Jesus himself in the flesh could not even escape these things. He came into this world knowing what he would have to face. Let's go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 for just a moment, okay? We read, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, Jesus, asked the Father to take this cup from him because he foresaw the terrible suffering that he knew he would endure. But even still, Jesus went to the cross for us. Why? Because he trusted in the Father's plan to end all pain for all believers and for all time, forever. And so he followed through. He trusted the Lord. So we have to understand that the seal of the Holy Spirit will protect and preserve our soul and our eternal inheritance. But it may not mean that we will not face any trials in this world or challenges, big or small, or even suffering. We might have to face those things. So as a Christian, Jesus, he followed through. What should our response be when we face these trying times as sons or daughters of God while we're still alive in this physical world? Well, number one, let me encourage you this morning to never give up. Never give up. Let's go to Galatians 6:9, where we read the following. Let me turn there for just a moment. We read, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So here we see that if we simply hang in there, allow the power of God now living, dwelling within us to partner with us and to help us, and if we choose not to give up, then we will be able to make it to the end, all right? It's a part of our guaranteed inheritance. Remember, your soul is protected, all right? One day you will be given a new immortal body, all right? Indestructible. But as of for today, we remain in these earthen vessels and they're subject to all of the attacks of the enemy, all right? Let's go on to point number two here this morning. And that is that we must work out our own salvation. We must work out our own salvation. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, where we read the following. We read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." All right? Salvation is not our work. We are saved by the work of Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. I think we all understand that. So to work out our own salvation, what does that mean? It means that we're to work out our obedience to God. It is our obedience that will prove our faith to be genuine. And as we daily surrender ourselves to God, that's an act of our will. That's an act of our choice. The Holy Spirit that lives in us then is enabled to empower us to help us walk and live in obedience as unto the Lord. It's really, really cool. So before we close here this morning and we are winding down, I've got a couple of questions that I want us to consider, all right? Since we have this confidence in being sealed by God through his Holy Spirit, he comes and he lives in our lives, I want to ask a couple questions. Number one, and maybe you've thought this before, can someone choose to walk away from God? Can Tim Moen choose to walk away from God and his salvation? To answer this question, I want to ask you a couple of questions. As a follower of Jesus Christ, do you still have a free will? Yes or no? Answer that question. As a follower of Jesus Christ, do you still have a free will? Yes or no? Second question, can you still make choices for yourself? Can you still make choices for yourself? If you answered yes, and the answer was yes for both of those, if you answered yes to both of those questions, then the logical answer is this. Yes, you could walk away from your faith. You could walk away from your salvation. Satan cannot break the seal. He cannot touch you, but you can break the seal by choosing to rebel and reject God and go on your own way. All right? So I think we all understand that this morning. But my next question is this. Why would you want to do that? Why in the world would you want to walk away from all that God has done for you? Does not make sense for me. Second question is this, can we lose our salvation? Can we lose our salvation? Let me begin my answer with this. A true believer might, all right, a true believer might doubt, they might despair, they might struggle or stumble, they might even fall into sin. However, a genuine believer, listen, my friend, I believe God's word teaches us that a genuine believer can never lose their inheritance. You can never lose your salvation. The seal of the Holy Spirit is there to protect and preserve you at all costs. His seal is also our guarantee of that future inheritance that we will one day receive in full when we get to heaven. So what does that guaranteed inheritance look like? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Revelations 21:4. This is so awesome. All right, we read this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. The former things have passed away. So what does our guarantee future inheritance look like? No more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and no more pain. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. There's coming a day when the former things will completely have passed away and all things will truly be new for us. A new body, a new outlook, a new everything will be new for us. Jesus Christ, in the confession we made in him today, he is our blessed hope. One last scripture for us this morning as we close. And I'm just going to read it to you here this morning. Romans 5:5. And this hope, Jesus Christ, he will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us his Holy Spirit, the seal to fill our hearts with his love. Friends, the Holy Spirit is our seal. He's our guarantee. It's another special work of the Holy Spirit, all right? It's a powerful thing. And after 5 weeks in this series, are you beginning to see just how important the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives as believers? We cannot succeed as believers, as followers, as disciples, as children of God in this world without the working of the Holy Spirit within us. But listen, my friend, with our partnership with God's Holy Spirit in our lives, you are safe, you are secure, and you are empowered to do all things for God's glory and honor. There's nothing we can accomplish together with the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you this morning. I don't know what you might be going through today, but I'm going to pray the blessing of God's understanding of this seal of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, that you are safe and you are secure in him. Only you can walk away from God. No one can take your salvation from you. And I pray today that you will be strengthened in that knowledge. Would you join me in prayer this morning as we close? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those who confessed you for the very first time as their Lord and Savior this morning. We thank you for those who rededicated their life in praying that confession again today, Lord God. Lord, I pray for all of them today that you would bless them, your favor be upon them. And God, I pray this message has given them a new awareness of that role of your Spirit in us to preserve and protect us. And I pray that that would encourage them today. I pray that, Lord, you would use that to lift their head up. Those who are discouraged, give them encouragement, Lord. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that your Spirit would empower us to live out the life that you have planned for us to bring you glory and honor and to lead others to you, God. Lord, I pray that we would get all stirred up and fully excited to let you have your full way in and through our lives as your Holy Spirit resides here and we be your temple. In Jesus' name we pray today. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey guys, I love you very much. Praying for you throughout the course of this week, and God is good. Say that with me. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next week. God bless. Love you.